Thank you, Father, that we come to one to whom we can sing. Great is your faithfulness. And wherever we are today, you are still our confidence. Your promise still stands. Thank you for that extraordinary statement. You've never failed us yet. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you who know exactly where we are today, would come by your Spirit to each of us and renew in us our confidence in you, our sense of your faithfulness. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How wonderful. Welcome, Samaris. It's great to see you. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for being with us. And thank you. Thank you, Luke and the band, for leading us in worship. And as we think of confidence and God's faithfulness, we're going to reflect on Pentecost, and Sophie's going to lead us.
Yes, so this week's church around the world remembers and celebrates Pentecost. So if you'd like to grab your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be on page 1033. And you know the story of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, the day when the Holy Spirit fell in power on the first Christians. They were huddled in a room during a prayer meeting. And suddenly the Spirit comes on them in wind and in fire, and each of them is given miraculously the gift of other languages to speak the languages of the nations around them. So they've been speaking in Latin and Arabic and Egyptian and so on. And they go out in the street and they start to speak the good news of Jesus to pilgrims who gathered from these various nations to Jerusalem for a Jewish festival. And they're speaking to them in their own languages about God. And Peter stands up and he preaches a sermon about Jesus. He speaks to them about this man who you crucified, he says to the Jews, and killed, but God has raised him up and he is now exalted at the right hand of God. And this is what happens next, verse 37. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and they said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Now, all of you, I'm sure, work in very responsible companies, so you all have job descriptions or job specs. And part of the job description of the Holy Spirit, if you were to have one, on there would be a bullet point that says, "Job of the Holy Spirit is to bring those who are far away from God close to him." He brings those who are far away from God close to him. I want to tell you a little bit of a story of a woman called Immaculée, who spoke at the HTB Leadership Conference a couple of weeks ago and has an extraordinary story. She was a survivor of the Rwandan genocide, and she's actually the only remaining member of her family. And she survived by hiding in a bathroom about 3 foot by 4 foot with 5 other women for 3 months. And she tells this incredible story of how in this bathroom, during those 3 months, the Holy Spirit took her on a journey from hatred to forgiveness. And initially, all she could think about while she was kind of cramped in this tiny space was how much she hated the people who hated her, her tribe, and she wanted to kill them, as she knew they were killing her family and her friends. But then God began to speak to her about forgiveness through the words of the Lord's Prayer. And Immaculée is a Catholic, and she had a rosary, and she'd been praying it. But whenever she got to the words, "as we forgive those who have sinned against us," she just couldn't pray those words. And she began to wrestle and struggle with God, and he began to work on her heart, until when she left that bathroom, she knew that God had given her the grace to forgive. And in fact, so much so that she actually went to the prison where the murderer of her mother and her brother was kept, and she told him that she forgave him. Well, who could forgive the murderer of their mother and their brother? Well, in our own strength, you and I, we cannot do that. And Immaculée couldn't do it. But the work of the Holy Spirit is to bring those who are far away from God close to him. He specializes in reaching those who are far away from God, those who are full of hatred and unforgiveness. And we see that in our passage today. Peter preaches a sermon specifically for those people who had condemned Jesus to death. They hated Jesus. They didn't want him. They rejected him. You might remember Pontius Pilate brings Jesus out to these people and he says, do you really want me to kill this guy? He seems quite a nice guy. And they say, crucify him, crucify him. If you or I were God, we wouldn't go back to those people and start talking to them about Jesus again. We'd think, okay, well, they've made their choice. We'll avoid them. But the Holy Spirit, he doesn't avoid them. In fact, quite the opposite. He draws these people back to himself. He speaks through Peter, through this sermon, to specifically these people, so that they are cut to the heart. Often we think about Pentecost as a church thing. It's about Christians experiencing the Spirit in healing and prophecy, and of course that's true. But the overflow of the Spirit in Pentecost was actually more about the Spirit reaching out through the church to reach those who had turned away from God. The Holy Spirit loves to reach those who are far away from God, to bring them close to him. Well, we've talked about Rwanda, and we've talked about first century Palestine, but what about 21st century London? What does the Spirit have in store for London? We're all surrounded at work and on our commute by people who say they don't want God, they don't want church, they're atheists, they're indifferent to God. It's so easy to assume, isn't it, that these people will never respond to Jesus, to feel hopeless that, okay, well, they've made their choice and there's nothing that's going to change that. But our passage shows us that the Holy Spirit specializes in reaching people exactly like that. Verse 39 says, that the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Holy Spirit, is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. So if he can turn around those who condemn Jesus to death, surely he can turn your boss around too. And if he can bring Immaculée to forgive her family's murderer, then surely he can find, he can enable your workmate to find peace through forgiveness too. He can change your sense of hopelessness about your colleagues or your family or your friends into hope if you will let him. So will you let him? The Holy Spirit is working to bring those who are far away from God close to him. He's out there doing it now. Will we be part of what he is doing? Amen.